Hello and welcome back to the Pre-Construction Podcast. Before we start, a couple of announcements. Announcement number one, I have got a new digital marketing agency who slapped me on the wrist and said, Gareth, you have got to ask people to subscribe to your podcast. So here we are. Please subscribe to the podcast. Number two, I am going to be consistently now releasing an episode of the Pre-Construction Podcast every Monday at noon EST. So you can look forward to that now, much more consistent. We've got some incredible guests coming up and lined up. Speaking of incredible guests, we have a guest on today talking about ChatGPT and AI. It is the big buzzword within the world, but within construction as well. How do we utilize ChatGPT? How do we utilize AI? How do we get it working for us within pre-construction and estimating? Is it going to take over? Loads of questions to get through. Our guest is one of the top performing guests we've had on before. It's Will Senner. He is the VP of Pre-Construction and Data Solutions. And that's the most important part. His role has changed over the last 2 years to really, really get involved in the data solutions side using ChatGPT, AI, to really drive their data. We talk about everything, anything. We talk about the language model that is ChatGPT and OpenAI, data strategy. What role has AI within construction? One of the big things you'll hear now is use cases. So pre-construction use cases, very, very important. There's no doubt about it. Will is so good with his time. He believes that sharing and collaborating is the only way that we can utilize this technology to our benefit. But listen, enough from me. Let's get over to Will. As always, before we speak with Will, you'll hear from Steve Delordo, co-founder of Concentric, one of our sponsors. And then after my chat with Will, you'll hear from Stuart Carroll. He is the president of Beck Technology, also a very important sponsor. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Steve Delordo, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I've experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concentric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
Will Senner, welcome back to the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Yeah, excited to be here. Thanks for having me back.
I'm buzzing to have you back. How could I not invite the guy that is consistently in the top three most downloads every week? Your first episode is an absolute hit. And for anybody that hasn't heard that first episode, I'll put it in the show notes. It's a really, really good high-level understanding of historical data, pre-construction data, what Will has been doing at Skanska and what they've done historically for the last 6 or 7 years. So get across, listen to it, and then come back and listen to this episode. Thanks for making the time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always fun to geek out on data a little bit.
Love it. And I have to say a huge congratulations. You have just been promoted to VP. The press release is coming out in a couple of weeks. Can you give us an idea now of the extra responsibilities and what your role looks like at Skanska?
Yeah, so I've been in a VP of pre-construction role here for a few years, leading our pre-con team in North Carolina, Virginia, but here in the last year or so have added responsibility for our data solutions team at Skanska, which is a new group that we've formalized. There's been a lot of work that's gone on over the last 3, 4, 5 years, really building our data infrastructure across our USA Building business. working very closely with our IT team as well. And just in the last year or so, we've really formalized that group and are starting on a really exciting trajectory to really leverage the potential and the value of our data, not just in pre-construction, but across operations, HR, every part of the business. And got a lot of cool things we're working on to really help reduce the burden on our project teams, help them, you know, drive to better data-informed decisions and enhance certainty and value for our clients. So it's exciting. It's exciting. A lot of good stuff coming.
Yeah, because you in our first podcast, you discussed quite a lot about the pre-construction side. So it's great to hear now that you're not only on the pre-construction side, but you're also on the execution and delivery side as well. So the reason I wanted to get you on is the buzzword, ChatGPT. What is going on? I mean, I've started to use it. I'm sure you've used it. I'll tell you what, how we'll start. If anybody that's listened to this, that's been like sleeping under a stone for the last 9 or 10 months, give us a high level chat about ChatGPT. What is it in the basic form? And then we'll really dig a little bit deeper then.
Yeah, so maybe an easy way to think about it, you know, hopefully most folks are familiar with artificial intelligence as a general concept, right? Using data to generate predictive insights. And, you know, something that we talk a little bit about in our training that we've developed about generative AI and ChatGPT at Skanska is kind of getting people to think a little bit more broadly. Because I think a lot of folks, when they think about data, they think about structured data. You know, data that's highly organized, you know, you think about it in rows and columns. Precon folks, we love our Excel sheets, right? But really data also includes a whole lot of unstructured data, and it's text, it's images, videos, audio. And a lot of what has happened in the last year or two from a technological development standpoint has unlocked new ways to leverage that unstructured data. And honestly, you know, there's some interesting studies from like Gartner and folks that at an enterprise level, 80% or more of our data is actually unstructured data. So the structured data is what we have typically been thinking about and we often use the most, but with this advance in technology, there's tremendous opportunity to leverage our unstructured data as well. And so a lot of that comes through something called natural language processing, where we're able to use these large language models effectively to understand and interpret human language in really new and revolutionary ways. So, you know, an easy way to think about it is that these models have basically started recognizing patterns in text by scraping information across the entire internet. And that's allowed them to discover you know, really surprising ways to understand language and develop new skills. But it's now allowed companies like OpenAI to develop tools. And so ChatGPT is the tool that OpenAI has developed with their large language model, where you can go in and ask it questions, and questions that are much more sophisticated than what you could type into a Google search years ago. And now you're getting answers that are informed with some degree of understanding of the human language, informed by information that's available all around the internet. And so, you know, it's a great thing to just kind of poke around and explore the tool a little bit and get familiar with some of the things you can do, whether you're, you know, we had a trip to London a couple months ago. And so I did a lot of playing around, to my wife's dismay, about, you know, give me recommendations on different restaurants and different places to visit and things to see. So it really is a powerful tool. You know, there's obviously a lot of limitations and challenges, but you know, the trick is really, how do you harness it in a way to maximize its value, understanding what use cases it's effective for, where there are limitations, and then start to sort of translate that into opportunities from a business standpoint as well.
And the thing that I love about it, oh, by the way, was the recommendations in London nice?
Yeah. Well, some were good. Some were other parts of less helpful. That sort of ties into some of the limitations.
That exactly. You brought me onto your next thing, right? And the thing that really excites me is the human feedback loop. So the fact that we can actually prompt it and ask it questions and almost guide it, I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's a superpower for brainstorming. But to be able to get information back and quickly see and think differently. So we all think kind of the same way all the time. But if it's throwing you back different answers and you're going, oh, I never actually thought about thinking about it like that. That's what I like about it. And listen, we all know it's in its infancy. It's really, really, really at the beginning. But it's showing great promise. And within something you touched on, you've obviously got your structured data. And Skanska historically, as you said, over the last 10 years have been brilliant within pre-construction. They've got their data points and they've got loads of historical data. But how important, how do you tie that into that really good data and then tie in the stuff on PDFs, on images, on text, and to be able to kind of put it together and come out with the best answer?
Yeah, so that's something that we think about in terms of contextualizing the model. So you're able to start with essentially the foundational ChatGPT model. So, for us, we're on Microsoft Azure as a data warehouse platform. And so we're able to leverage that same ChatGPT functionality through Azure. And so as we look at different use cases or opportunities to leverage this technology within the business, part of that conversation is how do we further contextualize the foundational model with additional Skanska knowledge and information, right? And that takes the form of different documents. So, one easy example could be, hey, we're going to take, hundreds or thousands of past estimates, and we can contextualize the foundational model with that additional information so that we can ask it questions and have it answer in a way that is informed not only by all of the information that the foundational model is built on, right, the entire internet, but also informed by all of that data from our past estimates. So for example, we could ask it a question like, I'm entering curtain wall into my estimate here. Is there anything else I should be considering? Or perhaps instead of asking a question, have it prompt us back. I see you've created a line item for curtain wall. If we're in a schematic design estimate, right, the specs, the documents haven't been developed yet, we might not have defined requirements for mockups, for field testing, for an envelope commissioning agent. But through that generative AI and analysis of hundreds of past estimates, it can recognize, hey, in situations where you've created line items for custom curtain wall systems, you've typically also had line items for specialty field testing or aesthetic mockups or performance mockups. Is that something that you'd like to include in this estimate? And so it can really be a great resource, to your point, in prompting people to think about things differently in a way that leverages kind of that collective knowledge of the business, not just the knowledge of that one estimator who happens to be doing that particular estimate.
And the thing that I like about it, within obviously one, there's limitations obviously of, I think it's 30,000 words, but you can keep going. So you can keep asking and asking for variations and more and prompt it and then give it a tick. Yes, we understand that. We've got that line item. We thought about this, and then just keep going. And it just keeps spitting the objections or the things that you should really be thinking on.
Yeah, and that's a good point too, because part of this is you're getting into some of those more customized use cases and contextualizing it on company specific data. You know, you're really talking about developing a custom proprietary instance of ChatGPT as well. So there are ways to kind of work around some of those character limitations and be able to upload documents, things like that. But of course, if you're working on the public version, there are some limitations to work within. But of course, if you're also on the public version, hopefully you're not entering proprietary project or company information as well. There are all kinds of other fun data security and privacy issues in that space too.
Yeah, and that's a problem. I mean, we can talk here all day about ChatGPT and how wonderful it is, but there are risks as well, and it's still very early. What sort of risks are involved? For instance, if we've got a mid-sized GC with some decent data of their own 3-4 years, and they're building, let's say, hospitals or extension, or let's say warehouses to keep it simple, and they've got a good 25-30 estimates within warehouses, How do they put ChatGPT on top of that to be able to search that without entering it into the World Wide Web and it disappearing into the beyond?
Yeah, so that's a conversation that folks want to be having with their IT team who's developed their data infrastructure and make sure that you're doing that in a safe and structured way. We've had a tremendous partnership with our IT data management office here at Skanska to really understand how we architect that in a way that is safe and secure with our data. We actually have done a couple iterations now of training on ChatGPT and generative AI for the business. And there are really three key things that we're trying to hit on there in addition to kind of the overall raising awareness. But one is that data security, data privacy piece. Like if you are using the public version, do not enter anything that you wouldn't be comfortable telling a competitor, right? If you've got an NDA on a project, for God's sake, no project information. Don't be putting in your name, address, social security number, because all of that information is likely to be going back and informing future iterations of their model, right? I mean, many folks probably saw the Samsung snafu where they accidentally released proprietary source code into the public domain because someone typed it into ChatGPT. So you really have to be mindful of that. So that's number one. Once you are able to create an instance of ChatGPT in your kind of company's domain or ecosystem, so you're not accessing on the web, some of that data security and privacy is no longer a concern, but you still have tremendously important knowledge around how you manage hallucinations. So for those who haven't played around with ChatGPT, you will find quickly that it's prone to what's called hallucinating, which is giving you an answer which is not factually correct. If you go back and think of, I mean, this is, it's looking at patterns in words, right? So, these are emerging technologies and emerging skills. So we don't fully understand how everything works just yet. But one of the things, another key piece of our training is really helping people understand the types of use cases where ChatGPT can be helpful. And one of the things we tell them is, if you're asking a question that has a definitively right answer, asking ChatGPT may not be the best way to get that answer. You for sure, if you're going to ask it, need to fact check the answer and make sure it's accurate. Yeah. We've had folks who have quizzed it on, historical battles and, the War of 1812 or something, and it'll tell you the wrong side won and have all the locations wrong. So, if you're asking it something that clearly has a right or wrong answer, that probably isn't the best use case. But there are plenty of other use cases around, develop me a draft of some document, right? And in our world, Exhibit A scopes of work, some things around safety planning that can be really, really helpful. It can be a great tool for helping rephrase or repackage information. One of our really sharp directors here came to me with a use case that, hey, I've got an idea for how to use ChatGPT, because when we do estimates and put our deliverables together, we're getting clarifications from 4, 5, 6 different estimators on our team. And when we give a final deliverable to the owner, we want to make sure that deliverable is written in one voice. And it sounds like it's coming from one person, one firm. It's all phrased the same way, reads consistently. Well, you can leverage ChatGPT to rewrite draft text, so it's in a consistent voice, consistent terminology. That can be a significant time saver. So, there are a lot of really good ways that you can use ChatGPT to save you time and make your work more efficient. And there are also plenty of ways where you can use it that sets you up to get a wrong answer, bad information. And I'll give you one other quick sidebar. I'm sure you've seen the image circulating on LinkedIn, maybe a month or so ago, ChatGPT can't build this building.
Yeah.
And, I found that interesting and amusing on multiple levels. We have been very intentional in our data strategy at Skanska to think about what we're doing from a standpoint of being data informed.
Yeah.
And we contrast that with the idea of being data driven. And the idea there being that everything we're doing with data, whether it's dashboards, AI, low code, It's about helping our people be more efficient and making better decisions where they can blend the insights from the data with their personal experience and expertise. It is not about the data giving you a singular answer, doing the task completely for you. And I think if you think about a lot of the potential ChatGPT use cases, you can see a lot of similarities there, right? Drafting that scope of work. It's not going to give you the perfect scope of work for your project because we're not at a point yet where it's reading and interpreting every single page of the plans and specifications and creating that perfect Exhibit A. But it can get you to a pretty darn good 90% start, and then you can finish that last 10% yourself. Yeah. So really understanding that blending of the insights from the data with the AI and the human perspective and experience, I think that's where the sweet spot is. And so, ChatGPT is not going to build a building anytime soon. Selfishly, I wouldn't mind if every competitor in the construction space wrote off AI because they thought, I can't build a building, it's not going to help. Because you're missing the point, right? This is what we're doing.
Yeah, this is what I'm afraid of. The people will look at ChatGPT and say no, and they will completely dismiss it. I mean, if you can complement it, basically increases the capacity of your team by. I'm hoping it's got to be above 50%, surely, when you consider how long it would take you to draft a document or write a document and get it in the right language that it's readable. I mean, it's huge. I mean, it's taken all the heavy lifting. No, not all the heavy lifting, but a lot of the heavy lifting that the human will complement. And at the end of the day, and I've said it before, I said the most successful construction companies are basically merging the talent with the technology, and you will get success. And this is the problem. And listen, historically, as an industry, we've struggled with getting on technology. And I don't mean Skanska, I mean as an industry. Some companies haven't, and they've got to get up to speed. But can you imagine the companies that, like estimating technology software, pre-construction technology software, they're not even there yet, and they're going to try and get ChatGPT integrated, but they've nothing to integrate it to. They've no data sets, they've no historical data. It could get really messy unless it's structured and really methodical and logical.
Well, and you're right. And there's a tremendous effort that has to go into building that data infrastructure, you know, getting all your information organized and addressing the data quality, getting good data management and governance fundamentals in place. I mean, that's the foundation that allows you to do any AI, whether it's, you know, traditional, kind of machine learning AI or generative AI, ChatGPT. We can certainly talk more about kind of some of those foundational things. But the other thing that I think is worth pointing out, you've talked on past podcasts too about the labor shortages that we have and challenges. It just boggles my mind that folks sometimes don't appreciate the power that these tools can have to drive efficiency and knowledge sharing, right? I mean, we're looking at a lot of knowledge loss potentially in our industry as folks are retiring, you know, moving out of the industry. The ability for us now, particularly as some of these tools become multimodal and are able to incorporate not just text, but video, audio, these different formats, the opportunities that we have to leverage this for knowledge sharing, to be able to collect enterprise level knowledge and then make it accessible to every individual at a few keystrokes, we're really bullish on the potential opportunities there to really democratize and unlock enterprise level knowledge across the business too. So
unbelievable. You said it there. The knowledge sharing is so important. And as an industry, and I'm not talking about construction, I'm talking about pre-construction and estimating. We are not good at it. We're risk adverse. We are afraid that we're keeping this magic sauce and this magic technology to ourselves and the numbers and the strategy. Whereas we should be sharing best practices. Advancing pre-construction down in Phoenix 2 weeks ago, I had an absolute ball. All the tech companies were happily sharing with each other to make the industry better. But just take you back one there, and what great point would you made as well about the knowledge retention within the industry. I want to pick one sector, and this is something that over the last 3 months is scaring the living daylights out of me, and it's the MEP people. So the mechanical electrical piping, I mean, that can be anything from 35 to 45% of your project. The amount, there's probably... Obviously, my bread and butter is staffing. So we have got enormous amount of contractors looking for MEP staff. There's probably between 20 and 24 really, really good. I'm talking about guys can go in with nothing else from a conceptual estimate and deliver one. There's 24 in the US. Out of those 24, they're all over 58. So whether the 24 or the 20, they're going to retire in the next 5 or 10 years. We are going to be sitting with a huge hole. And you said it there, how do we download the chip from their head and their experience and their knowledge? It's. I mean, will AI and ChatGPT play a part in that? Could it?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely some opportunities there. And you know, you sort of joke about downloading the chip out of their head, but you know, some of the initial functionality that's even starting to be available now, you know, some folks who are listening may have already noticed that in like Microsoft Teams, right? Microsoft has embedded capability where you get a transcript of the meeting. So it's you know, just giving you on its own that written transcript. So you're not having to take meeting notes and type that all up. You're getting a transcript. And now you've got tools like ChatGPT that can then summarize that information. And again, wow. as this becomes more multimodal, you think about being able to do, you know, video interviews, audio recordings, you know, through AI, generate those transcriptions, process the information, summarize it. There really is tremendous potential to do things that, you know, just a few years ago, we didn't think were possible. I'll tell you, it was actually only about 18 months ago, maybe a little less. We did a pretty significant effort on our enterprise data strategy to get our arms around all the different use cases that we might want to tackle as a business, you know, pre-construction and, you know, across operations, HR, everything. And, we wrote off, but there were a number of use cases that really relied on large language model, natural language processing capabilities that we felt like weren't things that we could take on just because the technology wasn't there. But we've had to go back now in the last few months, just based on how quickly things have evolved, to realize that, yes, this is actually approachable. The technology is there. We can take it on because it's unlocked so many opportunities and doors that just weren't possible before. So it's an exciting time to be part of this. I mean, you know, I think certainly it's true that we're in the hype curve, and I think things will settle down to a certain extent here. But at the same time, I think it's going to be really interesting to look back in 3 or 4 years and realize how little we knew about what was possible and how we'd be using this technology. And again, that's where I think the more we're able to get folks to explore it, understand what it can do, what it can't do, we're going to start to connect more of those dots on potential opportunities to really leverage value in the business.
Well, a couple of things there. Unbelievable. I didn't know about the Teams thing. That's incredible. If you put one of these MEP senior guys in a Teams meeting with 4 or 5 junior people and he speaks for an hour, they're only going to pick up 1 or 2 things, like max. So you can then take this transcript, put it into a data set, ChatGPT with the interface, and then find out the answers or keep prompting the answers. Incredible, right? I forgot about the other thing.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, while you think about it, you know, Microsoft is embedding a lot of this technology in what they call Copilot. So if folks haven't seen this yet, I'd encourage you to look it up online. There are some YouTube videos. It's still in beta, so it's not publicly available yet. But, you know, a lot of large enterprise companies have opportunities to kind of pilot this technology, but they're integrating this generative AI and other AI tools in Word and PowerPoint and Excel and Power BI and Teams. And so, you know, I think in the next 6 to 9 months, we're going to see more and more of this become available to where, you know, not only are we able to get that transcription right out of Teams, but native in these platforms, you know, you don't even have to go to ChatGPT. You're able to say, hey, Copilot, you know, give me a summarization, create a PowerPoint deck that's got 12 slides that summarizes everything we just covered in a training. You know, that is not very far off, and it's a pretty powerful transition. And so just starting to get people to think about what these tools can mean for how we work and some of the opportunities to be more efficient. It's pretty powerful.
So, I remember now the question I was going to ask you, right? I mean, what you've just said is unbelievably powerful. Is this as big as when we were introduced to the web? I mean, you're probably the same age as me. I mean, will we ever see any sort of evolution like this again in our lifetime? I can't see it.
So I would venture to say this is probably as significant as the creation of the web. You know, it'd be fun to look back in 20 years and see if we're right. The other thing that I think is noteworthy, someone shared with me an interesting visual kind of infographic about this the other week. It was showing the time scale of these different innovations and kind of revolutions, right? And the key takeaway was the amount of time between each revolution was shrinking. So these are happening much more quickly each time around, right? So the amount of time between, you know, this revolution and the next one, they come faster and faster. So will this be the significant revolution of our lifetime? Maybe there'll be another one because these things keep coming so quickly. It wouldn't shock me at all.
I can't handle another one. This one's blowing my mind. It'll take me at least 5 years to kind of take all this in. We could talk about this all day. Let's go for a little bit further now. Obviously, how do you prepare for AI? I know you kind of went through a lot of it there now. What's exciting you the most? I mean, we've gone through a lot of it, but specifically within, if you can, and I know you're doing a lot of on operations side as well, within pre-construction and estimating, what excites you the most and how do you see, and it mightn't even be happening now, but in the future, if we could tie this all together, how powerful could it be for pre-con and estimating? And to add a little bit more to that question is, people keep ringing me up all the time and text me and going, listen, Gareth, what's this crack with this AI? Is it going to replace me? I said it won't replace you. But what it will do is somebody, an estimator with the capability of using AI to its potential, will replace you. So get on the train.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on that front. And just as a quick aside, I do think as an industry and probably as a society, we're going to have some challenges around figuring out how to effectively use AI. And you know, I think the easiest place to look is in the education field, right? You know, how teachers in high school, middle school, college learn to adapt to a world with generative AI, you know, is going to be a challenge. But, you know, we learned how to teach math with one of these at a time when, you know, when this was invented, people thought, oh, you know, how are we ever going to get people to learn addition when they can just plug it into their calculator? So I do think we're going to see some shifts in how we as a society think about using AI, because what's really key is again, it's that data-informed methodology, right? That this isn't going to simply give us the answer, but using it to enhance our process, you know, be more efficient, think about things in new ways. So it's going to be, I'm really curious to see how as a society we evolve there and you know, what that looks like. But to your question, overall in the pre-construction space, I mean, there are a lot of use cases that we're really excited about. I mean, knowledge sharing is a big one that I think, to your point, has certainly as much relevancy in pre-construction as it does across the business. I think, you know, one of the use cases, we may have touched on this last time I was on, I'm not sure how the timing fell out, but we talked a lot about Skanskametrics, which is the benchmarking tool that we built, which, you know, is really in a lot of ways sort of the foundation and leaping off point for our data journey overall. But we've started exploring with layering AI on top of the Skanskametrics data to understand, you know, the relationship between all the different building and system parameters and the cost data, which, you know, has some really interesting opportunities and implications from sort of a conceptual cost modeling standpoint, to be able to, you know, plug in a project and be able to say, hey, you know, I'm wanting to explore a 100,000 square foot lab building that has this much wet lab, this much dry lab, this much office, this much classroom, and then be able to use the AI and all of that historical data to conceptualize not just, hey, here's what we think the cost is going to be, but to understand, you know, here's how much steel, how much concrete in the foundations, you know, how much curtain wall and brick and metal panel on the facade, and how much ductwork, you know, all of those different building parameters, so that we can then start exploring what if scenarios, that if we know, hey, our client's interested in you know, leveraging much more glass on the envelope of the building, we can turn those knobs and not only understand that, hey, we've got more curtain wall and that's going to cost more, but also understand the implications that has on the HVAC system and, you know, the costs associated there. So, I think there's a lot of really cool opportunities to help add value to our clients, particularly in those early design phases when we're exploring different options and understanding the implication of different decisions, to be able to have kind of your AI-assisted estimator who can work through some of those scenarios more quickly with the support of the AI. You know, that's a really cool one. I talked about that notion of using the AI to help us fill in gaps in estimates early on. I think that's an exciting opportunity. And there's some other ones around, you know, unit price validation, right? You know, we've got teams who are constantly out talking to the market, pricing work. You know, while we have our own databases built into our estimating tool, to be able to better tie that feedback loop together of the ongoing feedback that we're getting from the market back into kind of what we expect a price to be. I think there's some unique opportunities to leverage AI there as well, so we can get a little bit smarter on how costs are moving and what that market feedback means to inform kind of future estimating efforts.
And that's the one for me now, the one you should put to it. That's the one for me for that, like the length of time traditionally that takes, it's almost days, weeks, sometimes months. But that can be now done if it's done properly and there's a proper process and system in place, that can be done within hours. I mean, that to me really gives the puts a power back in the estimator, the pre-construction manager, and to be able to then go to the client and tell the story, whether it be visual or the story of the numbers. I mean, that'd be unbelievable. And I don't think we should be afraid of that. Estimators should be thriving on that, going, what? I don't have to sit there in a corner doing all the takeoffs and get ringing subs all the time. They should be embracing that to be able to do the stuff that they enjoy, which is tell a client the truth and get the journey and the story out there.
And to be able to find those value-added solutions, right? Okay, now I know it's going to cost this much, but is that the best way to do it? And are there better solutions out there? And what do those look like? But I think the challenge with that use case is just realizing that there are so many different unique cost drivers that influence unit prices, you know, whether it's you know, unique product requirements in a specification, whether it's site constraints, logistical impacts, you know, so many different things, local labor availability, right, that are going to move a unit price up or down. So again, it comes back to that coupling of the data and AI with the human experience. So the more that we've got people who understand those cost drivers and can give appropriate context for that unit price, the easier it is to integrate the AI to extract meaningful insights, right? If you've got a unit price or a bunch of unit prices that are just sitting off in a vacuum, and we've got, okay, well, you know, this drywall cost $8, $6, $12, $5 a square foot across these different projects. Well, if you're able to add on to that, okay, well, this project where it was $12, it was a little bit more expensive because it required level 5 finish, because, you know, we were expediting schedule and had second shift work, you know, because of difficult site conditions, getting the material up into the project. You know, the more context that we can provide to the AI, the more impactful the analysis can be. And that's I think really one of the key things. You know, you talked about the importance of having that foundation of good quality data to do meaningful AI investigation. I think, you know, what's tricky about some of these use cases is really unpacking how the data needs to be organized, contextualized, structured, because you may have some of the information you need, but not all of the information you might need to get really a meaningful result. And I'll give you an example. You know, I mentioned the AI investigation we were doing on top of our Skanska metrics data for conceptual cost modeling. So when we did our first iteration of that tool, we measured the results. So we you know, trained the model on some of the data, and then we analyze how accurate is it on another set of the data, right? And that's kind of general practice in the AI machine learning space. And so we analyzed it by uniformat division to see, okay, for standard foundations, deep foundations, you know, superstructure, skin, roofing, how accurate were we at predicting the cost based on the data that we were training the model on. And you probably wouldn't be surprised to find out that in certain building systems, it was a lot more accurate than in other building systems. And some of that was a direct result of what type of data we had collected to train the model on. And so, you know, part of that feedback loop was then being able to go back and understand, okay, if we're trying to predict cost for this system, maybe we need some additional data points that we weren't thinking about before, which will drive the accuracy of predictions in the future. And the reality was, when we set out on our journey of building the Skanska Metrics tool, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, we weren't looking to build a conceptual cost modeling AI-driven prediction tool, right? We were just thinking about benchmarking and analytics. So some of this you sort of learn as you progress along that journey. But I, you know, I think it's a great example of where kind of having that continuous improvement, plan, do, check, act, you know, mentality will be helpful in evolving, because you're not going to get everything right the first time. It's, you know, going to be a learning process.
And that is the key. I mean, that's where the scenario and the case that you use, your case that you've just described, is the magic. That's where the magic of the AI and the iteration, that you can teach it and learn it as it goes from a basic set. But the big thing there as well is, you mentioned that this is not what you set out to build, but it just tells you that any sort of interaction or collection or collaboration with data will never, ever, ever be time spent badly. Like it really is. I mean, and that's what worries me, dealing with general contractors of all sizes and VPs of pre-construction all over the US. I'm so saddened to hear that they haven't been collecting data. They haven't been organizing it. They haven't been looking after it, basically. So they're going to have to, they can't even get straight into ChatGPT because they haven't got the other side organized. They haven't got their ducks in a row. So that scares me. And again, what's the old saying? When's the best time to plant a tree? 7 years ago. When's the next best time is today? So they've really got to get a move on. And I literally could stand here and talk to you all day, Will Sinner.
Yes, I guess part three will have to come at some point. I don't know.
Well, that's exactly right. I think I had two other topics that we were supposed to go through, but I've been told that I've got to keep it under 45 minutes because people lose attention. I won't lose attention speaking to you. And there's a reason why everybody loves you at Skanska, because you're a genius. So thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me again.
And again, I know you're a really open guy. You're collaborative. You're always looking to learn. You're a thought leader. If anybody's looking to speak to you, what will I do? Will I put your email or LinkedIn profile on the show notes? Is that okay?
Yeah, LinkedIn is a great way to get in touch. And I will mention you after the first round, had some great conversations with, you know, design firms, manufacturers, subcontractors. So, you know, please do reach out. Some great conversations, and love to kind of help others along on their data journey as well.
Absolutely. That's why we do this. We need people talking, and we need people sharing ideas, because we can't build all the roads and stuff together. We haven't got enough people, we need to embrace everything. So listen, Will, thank you very much. You're right as well. I'm going to hold you that there will be an episode three with Will Sinner.
Sounds good.
Thank you, sir.
Stuck in spreadsheets? Tired of the endless loop of copying and pasting? Now imagine all your estimating workflows in one program. Beck Technology's innovative Destiny Estimator software streamlines the entire estimating process. With intuitive tools and powerful analytics, you can create accurate and reliable estimates quickly and easily. We understand the challenges pre-con teams face because we were born from construction. When you are ready to streamline your estimating effort, visit us at beck-technology.com and talk with a tech expert in a Destiny Estimator demo today.
Well, folks, I think you're like me and you're just going to take a breather from that. I mean, incredible information, incredible insights from Will on ChatGPT and AI and what they're doing at Skanska. I hope you got some clarity on what you should be doing yourself and what the capabilities are. A big thank you to Will. Now, as always, folks, listen, if you can't subscribe, fantastic. If not, don't worry. We will be releasing an episode at noon EST every Monday. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.